Come here, I need the money.
Used to, we sat down with Millie in the midst of all of this chaos to watch a film. So, here's that.
Gentlemen, welcome back to a new installment of It's Not That Deep, Bro! Yes, we are back together again. What is going on, guys?
New and improved.
New and improved.
We're back. It's been a long time.
Better than ever.
It has been.
We are visually seen now.
It has been too long.
That's crazy.
And you can see us. This is it. The new generation. We're back. How have you been, man?
You know, not bad.
Acting good. Like I've not seen you for the past 6 months.
You haven't.
This is the first time we've been together.
In
half a year.
What do we have for the people out there right now?
Well, we have our 50th episode, which is a landmark for us, you know. We've been doing this now since 2018. So
before you said eight, I was like,
2008?
We're rolling. Hopefully.
And we have, to celebrate our 50th episode, we have a fantastic guest.
Very special guest.
We've
been interrupted.
Oh. Yo, Lee.
Hello.
What are you saying? Yeah.
Real quick.
I need to help him. Real quick.
You made that sound like it was, I need to help him. He needs help.
Is everything okay?
Everything's fine.
Let's carry on. Such a cliffhanger.
I love
that. To celebrate our big comeback and rebrand, we have the wonderful Millie.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hi,
how
guys.
Are you, Millie?
Thank you for having me.
How you doing?
Yeah, I'm very good, thank you. Very, very good. To be honest with you, I've had quite a stressful day, but doing this evening has made me feel great.
Oh, we're so glad to have you.
So thank you.
Millie, we've not been sat on our hands for the past 6 months. We've been busy, haven't we, Martin?
Yes, we have, sir.
We've
been doing so much shit.
Lots of
honestly.
Escapades, you know, Martin's been modeling.
Oh, yeah.
I've been
that's right.
Comparing and
that's
hosting.
Right.
And Millie here has been curating a selection of different fashion shows that have taken place around Leicester City Centre. And we're so happy to be a part of these fantastic events that have been
taking place. Thank you very much. Thank you. I'm so happy that you are a part of it. I wouldn't be able to do it if you were not a part of it. So thank you, guys.
Because Millie does. She's a sustainable fashion designer here at 24/7 Studios, and we're part of the Mode Collective.
Yes, we are.
Which is a group of sustainable-minded fashion designers and brands all throughout. Is it just Leicester? Leicestershire.
There's a couple of girls that are sort of Derby, Nottingham way, but they studied in Leicester, or they've, you know, got some kind of connection. But I think Leicester and the wider areas, because I think as well, let's try and get more people involved. So there are any designers out there.
It's a small island.
Hit me up.
It's a small island we live on, you know.
It is.
Hit me up.
But yeah, we've all been coming together to put on these shows that are like multimedia.
Yeah,
you know?
Multimedia, multidiscipline.
Fashion with the mindfulness on the sustainability aspect
and the ethics, the
supply line of how it happened. But then we've also got fantastic art that's been featured.
Amazing, incredible art.
Performers, music, dance.
Yep.
So it's
all the good stuff.
They're really interesting. I'm so happy to be a part of them.
Thank you.
To be frank, interesting.
Yeah, they are very interesting. And again, like I said, I'm so glad that you're a part of them. And I feel I am in a place in my life right now where the only reason I'm able to do these things and put on these shows is because I am surrounded by some amazing, creative individuals who are like-minded and who want to do some really cool, amazing stuff in Leicester. Even though I'm not from here, but Leicester's like my home now. And
you're here now.
Yeah.
You know?
And I love it here. I love the people here. And I love this creative scene that just seems to be growing and growing. And I just hope that we can be part of it.
It does make me really excited when I'm like, oh, my God, there's exciting inspiring things happening in the place that I'm from.
Yeah, so yeah, it's really cool. It's
like let's do it all. So let's do it all. Let's take all this shit to the moon.
I've missed that, man. Well, let's get into it.
Okay.
We'll get into the
shows. Fucking Randy Master 5000, guys. Woo-hoo! Oh, it's been upgraded. Soon enough, soon to be the Randy Master 20,000 AI fucking version. I'm telling you, it's becoming interactive.
It's in the metaverse.
Guys, we're going to do this fast because the delivery guy's
here.
Oh,
my God, we got food and drink on the way. So,
that's right.
Millie, what we do here is we have a big list of films that me and Martin have curated of the past 4, 5, 6 years.
Perfect.
And you are in the hot seat to choose or to press the randomizer.
Push the button.
So
yeah, I'm excited.
We're
okay.
Gonna give you a woo! Countdown.
Okay. Three.
Three. Okay.
Yeah.
Three.
Oh, I'll pick a number.
Yeah.
What number would you like?
I should stand up to do this. I don't know why.
Yeah, yeah. Stand up. Yeah, I feel like it's a big
up.
Deal.
It's a standing up thing.
Well, let's go from three.
Okay. Three.
Okay.
Three, two, one.
Woo!
The film we are watching is
True Grit.
Yes. 2010.
True Grit.
I've not heard of
it. Oh my God.
Let's just watch it.
It's supposed to be a good one.
True Grit.
We're going to go get our food and our drink. We're going to watch the film and then we're going to get back to you with some thoughts.
That's right. You peace out, motherfuckers.
See you soon, guys.
Good to hear. And anyone can do this shit. Anyone.
Yeah.
I hope to inspire and expire all of these feelings. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we seem to be at a crossroads right here.
A crossroads.
Because we are back in style and we're ready to attack. We can either take the offensive or the defensive route.
Right.
Because we're ready to chat about True Grit.
We just pushed True Grit.
We did.
The film was made by the Coen brothers.
Oh,
was
okay.
It?
I don't know if anyone's aware.
I wish I was cool enough to like know
some
their reference
Scruggs.
Like that.
Yeah.
The Big Lebowski.
Oh, okay.
That's why.
Yeah.
There, you understand.
Is it like dark
saying?
Humor vibes?
Le Beef.
Yeah, so.
I got a bit of humor from this.
They do this like.
It was funny.
Sarky humor.
Yeah.
Sort of thing. But I thought that was like a classic Western film.
It was extremely Western.
I feel like we just saw like
there was lots of cowboys shooting each other.
But it had like the beats and hits of like a classic Western.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like
absolutely.
The LaBeef being like the young go-getter.
Yeah.
And Rooster being the Rooster Cogburn.
Cogburn.
Wow.
Wow, you remember.
Honestly, do you know what it is?
Name.
I
what
actually
the
really
fuck?
Struggle.
Things have changed.
I actually really struggle without subtitles.
So I'm going to say that I understood maybe a third of what
Cogburn was saying.
Cogburn had to say.
Oh my God, so it wasn't the only one. I was like, what the fuck is it? Okay.
I feel like
okay,
we
before we get
subtitles.
Into it.
Yeah, it's fine.
What did you think, Millie? What did you think?
My first immediate thought is that I loved the fact that there was this young female main character who was like this boss bitch in like times. Yeah. And on an absolute path of revenge. And she wasn't going to take no for an answer.
That's right.
And I really liked the fact that they didn't do anything weird, like try and portray this like weakness in a young female person, or also any kind of weird, like sometimes I feel like in films women get like sexually harassed, or like there's always some kind of like attack.
Yeah,
but there was
like, oh yeah, no, but this girl was not that, and that didn't happen, and that was good.
Almost did.
Well, I was gonna say I feel like she it was a great independent, strong female
role. 100%.
We said at the end, there was this moment where it seemed like the three of them kind of had come together after when we first met them at the beginning.
You wouldn't have thought it for a second.
Yeah, an unlikely trio.
He was such an unstable part of the trio.
Damon playing LaBeouf.
Yeah, I was so here for it.
Texas Ranger. Mm. To be fair, LaBeouf made that film for me.
Yeah, no, LaBeouf, I mean, it was that classic character, wasn't it?
Especially the way Cogburn, Jeff Bridges' character, said LaBeouf.
Yeah, mate.
LaBeouf! Mr. LaBeouf!
It's just like, that name is so... I don't know, it's obviously very purposeful, because what the heck?
I mean, it's very...
I mean, how is it spelled? Is it like
L-E-B-E-F?
Like French. Yeah, but is it like L-E space B-E-E-F? Or is it like, I don't know, like LaBeouf, like Shia LaBeouf? Like, I don't know.
I mean, I feel it's weird because he calls himself the Texas Ranger.
Should we find out?
And you'd expect someone who calls himself the Texas Ranger to be called like Carl or Duke.
Yeah, have like a one-syllable kind of name.
LaBeouf is a... Yeah. That's quite like an exotic
it is.
Name. I wonder.
I know, like, that's what I was... Yeah, I was like...
Is he first French?
Name? Are you French? Is it your first name? Is it your second name? Is it just, like, your cowboy name? Like, do cowboys just have
Mr.
cowboy
LaBeouf.
Names? You know, like...
Mr. LaBeouf, is that his last name?
Is that his last name? And it's one word, LaBeouf.
Oh, Mr. LaBeouf, of course. Maybe
LaBeouf. Maybe we're overemphasizing the beef.
No, but I liked it.
You were all for LaBeouf.
I was. He looked a bit sexy in the beginning.
Oh, shit.
What?
What? It smelled so weird.
I knew
is
it would
there an
be.
O?
I knew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
I knew. I said like Shia LaBeouf.
It is. It's LaBeouf.
Yeah.
A U and an O.
LaBeouf.
Is there any additional information about LaBeouf?
LaBeouf. Not really.
I did get a bit concerned that he was coming on to a 14-year-old.
Yes.
Well, I guess that comes with, like, the time period that this film
absolutely,
was
you were either a child or an adult.
Yeah. And,
which
but,
is...
But she held, like, her own. She was,
she
like...
Did
help
oh, her
she
own.
Was
like,
not
Christ
having...
Coward.
Yeah,
she
yeah, she wasn't
coward.
Having any of it.
No. You know what I mean? She wasn't, she wasn't taking no for an answer.
She
and she was like...
was not.
But then the whole spanking, sort of like, what the fuck?
Yeah, that was uncomfortable to watch, I'm not going to lie.
LaBeouf.
Not gonna lie, LaBeouf
that was a
took
bit
a
weird.
Turn right there.
But that made but it then him all the better when he came back at the end because somehow I was rooting for him.
Yeah.
Even though he'd done that, which was just outrageous. I was like, how have you done this, LaBeouf?
Can
how
we just confirm he survived? Did he die?
Who knows?
She said at the end that he never got in contact, but she'd be open. He just disappeared.
Oh, wow, the mysterious LaBeouf.
Yeah.
He was from Texas.
He disappeared as mysteriously as he appeared.
Yeah.
To be fair.
True, actually, because he was just there at that cabin.
Which goes completely in line with the Texas Ranger sort of.
Yeah, the vibe.
Mysterious cowboy.
100%.
Big iron.
100%.
Big
just iron like
on
big,
his head.
Big iron
the
on his head.
Mysterious stranger.
I am glad that she didn't die as well.
True.
I did wonder what was going to happen when she fell in that, like,
The snake pit sitch was scary.
If she didn't fucking move that body, she would have been fucking fine.
Something...
She needed the knife, though, to try and cut the leaves off her feet so she could get out.
Yeah.
I know the whole situation, but if she didn't...
I was
she
there.
Didn't...
It got me
she
thinking about... cowboys are, like, one of the only cultures that have, like, no religion. They just, like, live...
Are they not... they're not Christian?
Well, I think there are, like, Christian overtones, aren't there? They live,
by
the book.
Yeah, but there's this, like, lawless...
But there's nothing...
Yeah.
Non-physical. They just are into the...
Materialistic.
Yeah, the material world.
Like, moving cattle around and...
Moving cattle. And it was something to do with the distance they travelled. And when they had to go back, I was like, shit.
Yeah, that was deep.
That's just like...
I felt anxious.
It's the same...
They fucking travelled fucking for hours.
That horse was stressing me out as well because I fucking love horses. And
you
it was really upsetting when it
was
dying.
Gonna not be able
and they just
to
killed
finish
it.
The journey.
I thought you could have given it some water and maybe helped it up. And then...
He would have gone for a little bit longer.
Yeah.
But he was doing that because he knew that she was going to die.
Right, of course, and the power to cover.
Yeah, I was thinking about it.
That kind of paternal instinct as well, which I really liked from him. I liked that that character had that paternal instinct, almost even though he came across as this absolute dickhead in the first instance, this paternal instinct kind of took over. And, like, I don't know, I appreciated that again because as well...
all the, like, archetypes of, like, an alcoholic but loving father.
Yeah.
Basically. Like, might let you down, but ultimately loves you.
Yeah.
Like, what made me, like, weirded me out a little bit with the whole film, but it's kind of like, in the times that they were in, how much death a 14-year-old girl saw.
I was also thinking
and
this.
And I was just like...
all the way through.
Holy fuck. She's seen about... 30 people get shut down.
Carry on.
Sorry, I was just going to say that. Just having like all of these people just die in front of her, and this guy's just like, maybe I know him. I'll cut him down from the fucking tree. Death everywhere. And it's just like so normal. It just happens every sort of 5 minutes.
We watched that film, The Bicycle Thieves. It was a film from 1945.
Right.
And it was about a man and a little kid. And
The way they treated children
It was a real...
They had a job.
The kid was treated awfully.
Yeah, they didn't give a shit.
It was
like a 5 or 6 year old like with a job. And you're like, what the fuck?
He was treated like a man.
They do. Probably even more with boys. Well, I don't know. Probably with girls as well, because I guess like girls,
it's completely different. But back in cowboy times, like that's only going to be like exaggerated, you know, the way that children are treated. Because like being a teenager wasn't like a thing until
like I said,
the '50s, '60s.
Yeah, you were either a child or an adult. Like this teenager thing, I guess maybe after like 12, 13, like excuse me, after that, you were an adult and you were treated and put in the same category as adults. I mean, obviously, it's really great that that's not the situation anymore.
Just indulging in, like, your interests in those, like, teenage years wasn't promoted at all. No. It was, like, just fucking get ready to work.
Yeah. I do think there's always an argument as well, though, that, like, children now are... mollycoddled and like wrapped in cotton wool more, and I think sometimes that can have a detrimental effect on them as adult people, and like we see that on a day-to-day basis with like relationships all the time. But I do think also, like, obviously you can't put children as in factories at 12.
No,
like I'm not saying that. Obviously,
there's a fine
I'm not
line,
yeah
think.
Yeah of yeah. course I'm not saying that yeah
shielded.
Of course.
But not being exposed to too much.
And don't get me wrong, like, I'm the softest person ever. Like, Jesus Christ, I'm soft with my dog. I don't even know what I do for that. My children, I'd be so soft with them. But,
where is Sunday? He's down here. He's under me.
But, yeah, I think that is an argument sometimes, especially with guys that I meet who... this tough ideal is still quite a thing, even with, like, younger...
Yeah, but it's like, how long does that last?
Yeah, true.
You know, and I always wonder when I meet someone that's overly macho. Mm. I'm like, you're like this all the time.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
How can you be arsed?
Yeah, like that, that must be tiring.
Shut out.
It's got to fall at some point.
That's what happens when then, like, if somebody's just macho all the time, it'll get to a point where either... they hurt someone and they have to like do time.
Yeah.
Or they start crying.
Or literally, they have
an epiphany.
Yeah, they have an emotional breakdown.
But
basically.
I feel like that's not the way to like manage your emotions.
Oh, no.
No, of course.
Obviously.
Not at all.
It's not, there's no real right way to manage your emotions.
Yeah, there's no set way.
But
no.
I feel like.
But I feel like there's
macho
a
bravado
basic.
Thing.
Yeah,
is rooted basic. I feel like it's rooted in fear.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Feeling your emotions.
Oh, 100%.
And that's why when those kind of people are confronted with like real emotion, they normally get like aggressive.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Did they not put themselves in a like. They're constantly put in a position of like hate. But maybe putting them into a position of love, I guess, would turn their life around.
I always just think about being part of the rugby club in school.
Wow.
I used to straighten my hair.
Horrendous.
But because I was a bigger guy, they were like, oh, you got to be a prop. You got to be in the scrum. Get in there.
Oh, no.
Get stuck in.
Oh, God, go in, lad.
Well, I did the rugby team in my fucking school once.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, I went for training. And I was like,
I'm not really about it.
I'm out.
No, I'm not about like, competitive sport under any circumstances.
To attack that man to get this ball over there.
Absolutely not.
No.
Don't need that aggression.
So then I'm called gay.
Oh yeah, classic. Wow. Yeah.
And that happened.
That's the classic deflect. You're gay.
But that's also why there's a huge problem. Let me just say that, like, professional footballers, I think there's like one person that's ever come out as gay because there's that ultimate pressure with this ultimate masculinity.
Lad culture.
Yeah, that absolute lad culture, which is a fucking issue.
Well, then we'd go to the changing rooms after, you know, the practice was over. And
they'd
be like whipping one another.
Yeah, so.
And like, in the
doing
ass.
Some of the
while
weirdest
they're naked.
Shit. And yeah. I'm like,
that is crazy.
I'm gay.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
What's going? Not that there's, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah. Obviously, yeah. But like, yeah. Absolutely.
I was just like, what the hell is going on here? I don't think you're thinking about your sexuality at all. At
yeah,
least,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
I've considered.
I think it's just they're just trying to say it more as an insult, and whether they do whatever they do.
But it's fair. You're fair. Yeah. But,
yeah. Of course, it's just them trying to be
crazy,
being insecure.
Though.
Yeah.
About what they're doing, actually.
Yeah, and also
to...
I think as well, in the time that when we were at school, I definitely remember more people would use the word gay as a negative term. I think now it's
a colloquial term, just like...
Yeah, absolutely, and it was this thing. And I always remember thinking, like, what, like, that's... I don't know whether that's that nice. I don't know, but, yeah, I think, obviously, times do massively change and you learn and... The wider community learns that that's not the way to go about things and think people evolve.
It stems in like from hate. And I think that on a mass scale, like being part of popular culture.
Yeah. To be fair, I went to an all girls school and I hate competitive sport. I did rounders for a bit, which I didn't mind. I liked rounders. Rounders was actually fun. Like rounders is a fun game.
Yeah.
But we used to go to other schools to compete, and they would call us all lesbians, and that again, it was that like really sort of it was like a normal kind of insult to throw at us. I mean, it's obviously ridiculous now, but you know, that was like a thing that people just said, and nobody really was like, well, you can't
just because they were the opposing team at rounders,
yes. Literally. Honestly, I remember this game.
Like...
I am not even joking. And we obviously played against girls as well. This one game, and I'm talking we're in like year 9 maximum. And we're in this one game. And this team, they were abusive. They were like throwing shit at us and like really... We were like so young, and I remember thinking, what the fuck? Like, I was scared.
Coming on strong with the trash
mate,
talk.
Coming up, not even the trash talk, like actual, like throwing the rounders bats and balls and shit. Like,
oh,
it was a bit mad.
Were they like a detention centre or something? not a rival school, like a prison that had been sent.
Well, yeah, that's how it felt.
I remember always being in, like, I like playing dodgeball. Dodgeball's pretty nice.
That's your...
Dodgeball?
Yeah.
Again, too scared of getting hurt.
Really?
Dodgeballs don't hurt that much.
Do they not?
No.
I just don't want anything hitting me.
If you get one to the face, that hurts. A football to the face hurts.
Oh,
I mean,
fuck yeah.
A football's a lot harder than a dodgeball.
I've taken a couple of footballs to the face.
And it's not good for you.
I don't...
No.
I don't plan on doing it again.
I don't recommend it.
No, it's not recommended.
Yeah, it's not recommended. But I will play some dodgeball. I like fucking around, catching the ball.
Yeah. I think we did attempt it at school maybe once or twice, but I don't think it was for me. I definitely did all I could to not do PE.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when I played like hockey and stuff. I fucking hate it.
Yeah, I definitely was the kind of guy to smack the tennis ball as far as I could across the field just so I'd have to go get it.
Oh, God, I just hated it.
The lesson would speed up. I even tied my track keys to the tennis court fence once.
Really like a tight, protest.
Really tight knot. And the teacher came over and was like, Jack, what are you doing? And I said, I'm stuck, sir.
Yeah.
I can't move.
I love that. Wow. I love that.
And the whole lesson was just spent trying to get me off this fence.
I'm so obsessed with that. I think that's when I knew all the time. Idiot. I just wanted to sit inside and draw. Like, I just didn't want to be outside. I mean, I like the outdoors now, don't get me wrong. I fucking love being outside. Mm. And I love, like, the forest and just being in nature. Like, I literally love that. But playing sports with a lot of other girls was just not for me. Mm-hmm.
No.
And I just wanted to draw and just be quiet and, like, away from all that. Because the noises, whoa, that used to stress me out. Like, trying to concentrate on actually, like, play the actual game and then all the noise that's, like, created by the game. Like, I used to get a bit stressed out. Like, I just couldn't concentrate on, like, the one thing. Mm. I think that's the thing with driving as well. I get so stressed. I don't have a license, and I've had done lots of lessons. But all the things you've got to manage all at once, it's my brain is like,
and you have to get to a point where it's like autopilot.
Yeah,
like, because driving's tiring.
Yeah,
but it's a head fuck because you're so used to doing it that you don't think you're doing it.
Yeah.
So, but then you're like, why am I tired? Mm. And you realise it's because, I've been monitoring, like, multiple different vehicles, my speed limit, the, like, laws of the road. There's so much going on.
It's funny, as it well, because with work, so with, like, my work with the clothes and with fashion, with the stuff that I do all the time, like, I guess I can, it is like autopilot to me. That's like autopilot to me.
There's certain things that when you do them enough, they just...
Yeah.
I find that really interesting how you can, like, get a skill or just a pattern...
Yeah.
...to a point where it's second nature.
Yeah.
Because that's what, like, athletes and high performers spend their time, like, thinking about, like, train until it's second nature.
Yeah, literally, just do it.
How many years would you say you've got in the industry of fashion?
Well, that was a fucking great question, Martin. Literally, like, I was obsessed. I first started studying fashion properly in college when I was 17, and I'm now 28. So
11 years.
Yeah, 11 years of actually, like, studying. I mean, obviously, I started working in fashion in 2017.
17?
Yeah.
You've done half a decade.
Yeah.
So that's quite cool because as well, I remember in 2017, I was looking at jobs or looking at, like, freelance work or looking at whatever, and people were like, you need like 2 or 3 years experience. And I was like, fuck. And now I've got like 5 years. And I'm like, okay. Like, that's
cool.
Yeah, you
can literally go anywhere.
Yeah, and it's quite like, it becomes not easier. Of course, it doesn't come easier. It's fucking hard still. It's really hard. It's harder probably than it was 5 years ago. But it becomes more like, you become more confident in it, I guess, and you become more, like, at ease with it and just, like, less...
I guess it's like that second nature thing, just on a bigger scale.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know your strengths and weaknesses as well.
Like, 100%.
Like, what you can improve on and what you are.
And I think when you start out, you obviously want to try and do everything. And, like, you learn a lot. Like, we did learn a lot at uni. Like, especially if you just apply yourself and you do actually, like, go to your classes and go to your lectures.
That's it, yeah.
Like, you can actually learn loads.
It does help.
Yeah, it does actually genuinely help. Like, I'm not even joking. Especially if you're doing a physical course as well. Like, when there's actually physical things to learn, like, how to make certain things and how things go together. And, like, because I'm a very three-dimensional learner. Like, I need to see the physical product, like, I need to understand, like, what that looks like if I'm then trying to draw it on paper and whatever. But yeah, I can't even remember my train of thought on where I was going with that. Oh yeah, but I think when you start out, you want to say yes to everything and you want to, like, be this amazing, but you soon learn that you can't do everything, and you should find your niches within your market or your subject or your passion or whatever, because that's actually what's going to probably be the most beneficial thing, because you're the best at it.
Well, I think eventually that allows you have to, like, go under to come up, don't you? Like, you can address all the things that you want to do. It's just in time
absolutely.
And how that, like, actually physically happens within your industry.
Yeah, yeah, and how that actually like sort of becomes a tangible.
But having thing. Those big dreams from the beginning, I think, is important.
Oh, you
like
have
wanting
to
like do everything and like.
My goodness, you have to.
You have to cling on to that.
Oh, 100%. And I think like, don't be scared of that either. Like, I know sometimes it can seem a little bit crazy, but fantasize about it and like think about what it would actually physically look like in your life to lead this life that.
Yeah, like who are the people?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Who are the people? What are the genuine activities that you do to like pursue this passion or this dream? And like, what is around that? And just, you know, make little goals and plans out of that, and you soon start to do it, and you then involve. You're in it. You're doing it, and you're just like, oh, okay, I'm now doing what
I want to be.
What
doing.
I want to be doing, yeah. And it's actually so fucking cool, and like. You get to grips on it a little bit more, and I don't know, the more you learn, like, I love learning. I literally love learning so much. Like, it's one of my favourite things, new things about all sorts of stuff, not even just fashion, like, all sorts of
I think I was saying to you, I've probably said this to you 1,000 times, but if someone is, like, passionate about something, I can hear them talk about it endlessly.
Oh, 100%. Oh, yeah. Like, even if it's, like, something mental.
I follow some crazy people on YouTube. Like,
I love learning that shit.
There's a guy called MRE Steve who exclusively on his channel eats old ration packs from, like, World War II.
Wow, I'm kind of into it.
But he, like, dresses up in, like, all the army shit.
Yeah, I'm here.
He's got a metal tray. And he, like, does it the same every single video. And I'm just... He knows so much about it.
I'm obsessed.
That you just have to take your hat off and say, fair enough, Steve.
Yeah, absolutely.
Steve, you're a bloody good bloke, Steve.
A billion percent.
But as long as someone... Yeah, there's passion there, then it's like, oh, this is inspiring. Because this person cares.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, even today, I met this girl who... so in my community champion work that I do... I met this girl, so I was at Morrison's and she was there with her stand with her, she sells photography packages at Venture.
Yeah.
And like she loved what she did so much. She was such a sweet girl and like, she just absolutely fucking loved it. And I literally could have sat and talked to her about it for ages and we were just chatting. And like, to me, I just wouldn't have thought like, because obviously I'm so passionate about clothes.
Mm.
Photography, I love too, but I don't know. I just loved listening to her talk about it, like you said, and it was just something that I never thought I would particularly find that interesting.
Yeah.
But it's not even necessarily the subject matter; it's that person's energy and like how they talk
spark
about it. And
that
yeah,
they have for
absolutely.
It, yeah.
They've got like it feels every time I talk to someone who's so passionate about what they are doing. It feels like it's a script, but it's so natural.
Yeah.
Like, such a natural script of what
they
like
think about
doing.
It all
yeah,
the time.
Exactly. So it's just like constant, like, it's like if I just ask him about it, it's just like, I know exactly where I'm going.
Absolutely.
Start from here, move up to here. And then I'm just there like, I'm amazed.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Million percent.
If I say, Martin, how do you feel about warm temperatures?
I love them. What do you mean?
You're very passionate about a hot environment.
I'm always, always down to be nice and warm, nice and cuddled up.
And how about the cold?
Not a fan. Not a fan at all. For everyone out there, I am not a fan of the cold.
To be fair,
I will. In fact, do snowboarding because that tires you out. But I don't like the snow.
When they were in the cold, on the film, do you know what I immediately thought of though? I was like, what about the horses? Have the horses not got any blankets?
You have made
fuck LaBeef.
You were a horse girl.
Yeah.
Is what we found out from watching this film.
I was.
You were one of those.
I was. I mean,
I thought you were a beef gal.
No, but I mean,
you were more
in my general life. So imagine when I was born, we had like I was born into quite a privileged situation. I mean, things soon changed.
I mean, you can't.
Yeah, but my grandma
exactly. Yeah,
had livery stables. Like she had stables that she rented out, And she also had her own horses. So she had like, she had quite a few at one time, I think. And then I had a horse, a little horse called Tinker, who was like a little grey pony. She was like 13 hands, I remember.
Hands.
And as in like, that's how she was.
Literal hands.
I actually do not know and have never known and I've never even researched it.
I have learned this information 100%.
What is actual hands?
Yeah, I don't know now. I've forgotten the information.
Yeah, I've never learned it.
But I definitely...
13 hands.
So horses are measured
in hands.
In hands.
In hands.
Yeah, it's not like... Well, you can obviously measure it in centimetres.
There is a centimetre conversion.
Yeah, but this is how big she was. But then she was cute, but she was a little bit naughty. We used to like ride her. But one time she trampled me in the field when I was going out. I had a bucket of food and I went out. I probably was literally like six. Out and she literally trampled me.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And I've fallen off
the horse. Was she just like excited that bitten. You had food?
Yeah, definitely. She was a bit naughty though, but she was cute.
I did get taken to horse riding once by a family friend when I was younger and their family, and I was all for it. It's just
that made me jump.
The projector turning. I was all for it until I got there and there was a girl riding around on a horse and she was great. And then the horse just got down and just kind of like rolled over with her on it.
Oh.
And she was like still like attached to it and it was like rolling around on the floor.
Oh my goodness.
And then I was like,
You don't want that.
I'm not going to get on that horse.
I've never experienced that.
Wow.
He must have got really spooked.
I fell off a horse as well.
Hmm?
You fell off a horse?
I've fallen off and been bitten.
Yeah. You've been bit? Because I've fed horses flat hand, grass on palm.
Mm. Yeah, I love that.
You feel the lips so on your hand.
Thought I was going to fuck you.
Horses know when you're scared as well, though, so don't be scared around them because they can feel your energy.
I love horses.
Animals in general, you got to...
Yeah.
I don't know why you would be scared of a horse. If you look at it, it's just majestic.
Yes.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, it's
just, they're huge.
They are huge.
Yes. I've seen them.
You ever looked a horse dead in the eye?
Yes.
And it's like dead look.
Yeah, but that's just how they look.
Some don't.
It's so fucking cute.
But then there's some horses.
Why the long face?
I'm just going to do a quick taxi check. I'm really sorry to do this in the middle of the podcast, but.
No, it's fine.
Like, why the long face?
Yeah, but they're still beautiful.
They're beautiful, majestic creatures. I wish that unicorns were real because they would look fucking amazing.
We're good.
Still some about, but less.
I mean, I feel like we're coming to a...
I just don't know how you... Because I could literally sit and talk for so long. Do you know what I mean?
We've definitely done like 3-hour episodes where it's like... Yeah. I could just me and him just talking.
Yeah, I literally could. If it wasn't this late, I literally could. We could even carry on the conversation like another time. But
this is on the fly here. I mean, it all comes out in the edit. It's fine. I was thinking anyway about doing like a
part two.
Yeah, like a part two.
That was your part two.
Having Millie like spread over into episode 51 as well.
Whoa, come on.
Mate, come on. They do that with the best guests.
What
are you saying, Martin?
It's not what I'm
going to
say.
We've got so much content.
You can't just be spreading fucking Millie over, all right? We got to just slowly bring her in, okay?
Thank you, I appreciate that.
You know what I mean? You can't be sexist about this shit.
Wow. I didn't take it as a sexist comment.
Martin's always trying to like cancel me in the moment.
Oh my god, he literally tried to live cancel you then. That was unbelievable.
It's just funny.
That was actually quite funny.
It all comes out in the edit, doesn't it?
People will love it, bro.
I actually loved that.
We should probably talk in some sort of official capacity about the Athena.
Yeah. Right now.
Hit them up with the deets, boys and girls.
This is the third Mode Collective fashion show.
Number 3.
And it's at the Athena Theatre in Leicester. Obviously, when you're hearing this, this will have happened yesterday.
No!
Yeah.
No way. Time travel is crazy.
Yeah, that is literal time travel. It's blowing my mind right now.
So, I guess...
Oh, my God.
Well done, everyone.
Yeah, well, yay! Oh no, we'll definitely be a
big. It was so great. It was good so show. Great.
It was
so,
so no, good.
I am literally so excited.
But
I'm
it's
nervous,
crazy because there's like so many brands involved.
So many brands. What, so we've got
30?
Yeah, there's going to be. 30? So we've got the trade show during the day. I call it the trade show because I guess that's a universal term, but it's like a business and trade expo for the textile industry in Leicester, which is hosted by Fashion Enter. And I am then co-organising, well, I'm organising the show part of the day, basically, with the help of those guys. And obviously, it's fucking Athena, which is just the most incredible thing ever to be able to use that venue and the space that we have.
It's a dream come true.
It literally is a dream come true. And for me, I don't know, I guess my sister, she's incredible. She's a performer and I've watched her on the stage so many years
drop
now.
Drop a name.
Ellie, full of love. Amazing girl. Love you. she'll definitely fucking listen to this podcast. We all know she's going to fucking listen to it because she's literally a cheerleader and I'm absolutely so in love with her. But yeah, to watch her on the stage doing performances and just absolutely fucking smashing it for all these years and it being so inspiring, and then to be able to create something ourselves with her involved as well, which is amazing. Obviously, she's going to be doing some dancing and modelling, which is going to be fantastic. But it's really special to me. And I feel like my mum as well, my mum's obsessed with the theatre and she always has been. And I'm a fashion designer that's now come into a place in my life where I'm organising a big collective fashion show with an incredible social enterprise who are helping garment workers with a bunch of really incredible creative people in Leicester, and we're doing it on a fucking theatre stage. Like, that is actually nuts.
How much better can it
to
get?
To hear that all in one sentence.
Yeah, when you actually say it out loud, it is a bit fucking mental.
It's crazy, isn't it?
I know, and like, when you're younger as well, like, when I used to think, oh, I'm going to be a fashion designer, I want to be a fashion designer, I'm going to do it.
And look at what we are
I
now.
Just didn't think, like, you never know, like, what that actually means. Like, you can have a vision of what that actually looks like, but I think I'm so grateful for what that looks like now and the fact that a lot of the work that we as in a collective we, but a lot of the work that I'm doing at the moment is very community based as well, and like I want to, you know, bring people together, and you know, you guys help me do that, which is great.
I think as long as
always
you can see
I'm always
what
here.
You want to be and what you want to do, you don't have to like be able to put words on it right away.
Yeah, but just that
to see it, like goal, the situation
and the dream
that you want to be in. But yeah, and I'm hosting.
You are
the whole thing,
which is going to be fucking amazing.
You are.
So Erland, I'm going to do. Erland is hosting as he has done for the last two because he's got the most eloquent voice out of anyone I know. No offense. And he's also performing his new song "Moving All the Shadows," which is going to be fucking amazing.
That was a fantastic segue into. I do have a new song coming out called "Moving All the Shadows."
That's right.
That I will be performing at the Athena on the 16th of June, and then it comes out the next day on the 17th on streaming services.
All suited and beaded. These trousers, bro, they were so tired of me before, and I literally like.
And now you've got some space,
bro. I can't.
Let's have a peek out around the corner. What you're gonna be.
Oh! Can't fall over that.
Oh, I'm not. Oh!